Satellites are watching the weather from space and beaming data to an army of surprisingly old computers on the ground.
When you get the data down from the satellite, it's only as good as where you can send it.
From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. If you have wondered where your weather apps get their intel, look no further than the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. We've talked on this program before about NOAA's satellites and how they gather data for the National Weather Service. Well, there is a building in Virginia where NOAA pulls its data down from space and turns it into forecasts. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams got a tour of that building with Bill Carter, IT systems specialist at NOAA's Satellite Operations Facility.
The roof is the best part of the tour.
Oh, wow. These satellites are huge.
Yes, so we're looking at an antenna farm that actually brings down the satellite product that we distribute to all the users throughout the country and the world, actually. It's state-of-the-art because generally these antenna systems of this size aren't on the top of a building. When you see this building from the road, you know that there's something high-tech going on there.
Okay. Onward. Many, many, many stacks of servers.
That's it. So this is our data center. It's about 4,000 square feet, and it houses a little over 400 computer racks full of servers and computer equipment that support all of our satellite missions. When you get the data down from the satellite, it's only as good as where you can send it. So what you're seeing is actually command and control, and receiving the data, and actually processing the data. We have about 11 different satellite missions in here.
Oh, I see. Some of them have the name of what they're working on them.
Exactly. So each of the racks actually support a certain mission.
Behind the chain link fence. Behind
the chain link fence. So this is the Defense Meteorological Satellite Program, DMSP.
And how old is this system?
A lot of the DMSP equipment was originally about 1986, 1987.
I mean, I see openings here for the 5.5-inch. No, that's for a CD, but for the, like, 3.5-inch floppy disk.
3.5-inch floppy disk that we still have to use.
So do you, like, scour Craigslist and eBay for anybody who's got, like, stockpiles?
We try. There are actually suppliers that still make them. It is very difficult to acquire some of these sometime. It shows that if you do the proper maintenance, you can make things last for a long, long time.
That was Marketplace Tech space correspondent Kimberly Adams with Bill Carter, IT systems specialist at NOAA's Satellite Operations Facility. Yesterday, President Trump appointed Barry Myers to run NOAA. Myers is CEO of the weather forecasting company AccuWeather, but he has no scientific background. Critics of that appointment say that Myers has previously lobbied to stop the National Weather Service from releasing information to the public that companies like AccuWeather could use in their commercial services. All right, now it is time for Feedback Friday. Last time we talked to Kimberly, we talked about the possible militarization of space if we ever created an actual space corps. And we wondered, what is the best sci-fi analogy to a space corps? Would it be a peaceful, uniformed force like Starfleet of the Starship Enterprise in Star Trek? Or will it be a much more warlike story like Starship Troopers? Our two callers, Andy Curtis and repeat caller Joseph Selby, had the same answer.
As much as many of us want it to be the Starfleet, I think in our deep, dark secret hearts, we all know it's going to be Starship Troopers.
So there you've got both Space Marines and you've got, you know, a fleet of ships that are under the direction of a branch of the military or a couple of branches of the military that are specifically designed to attack and defend in outer space.
And Scott Morshauser, Seth Johnson, Octaviano Ledesma, Matt McCabe, and several others all agreed on Starship Troopers, but not everybody. Leah Lewis pointed out that although Starfleet started as a peacekeeping organization, the war with the Klingons and other enemies like the Cardassians and the Borg meant that Starfleet developed plenty of fighting capabilities over time. Kevin Neely chose an option close to my heart. He said it was like the MCRN, which is the Martian Navy from the Expanse series, which happens to be my current favorite. Adam Anderson said it was like the Halo video game universe, which has a United Naval Space Command, or UNSC. Kenny Gallardo said Ender's Game, and Mark McWiggins brought us down to Earth. He writes, this is most like two 16th century armies getting ready to battle each other, unaware that there's a Category 5 hurricane 100 miles off the coast that is bearing down on them, about to smash them to bits. Until we get all the near-Earth asteroids mapped and cataloged and protected from every direction, the Space Corps is a misdirected use of resources to the max. Kind of a buzzkill there, Mark. Stephanie Hughes produces this show. She watched The Right Stuff for the first time this weekend because I told her she had to start up in her space cred. Kimberly Adams has all the space cred. Her favorite space movie is Gravity. She's a realist. Annie Rees edited the piece you heard today. Her favorite is Empire Strikes Back for the romantic tension and that part where Han Solo gets frozen. Ben Tolliday engineered our program. His favorite space movie is 2001 Space Odyssey because he is fancy like that. I'm Molly Wood, and you cannot make me choose just one space movie to love. That's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.